That's right. Every month we get a chance to sit down with the mayor of our fine city, Mike Duggan, and he's here right now. Hello, Mayor Duggan.
I'm glad to be back and very glad to see you back.
Yeah, it's the things you do to get back home. Yeah, wasn't, I'll tell you, you know, anytime you think that you have problems in your city, you know, a healthy dose of perspective to go someplace where you literally not only are in danger, you know, of losing your life at any given turn, but you can't leave. You know, when somebody takes your freedom away to freely move about, even for a day, let alone for 10 days, you have a whole new understanding of what it's like to live in places where that essential freedom is gone, and why people and so many other parts of the world talk about freedom the way that we talk about money or cable TV or all the things that we want. They talk about freedom. We just had freedom. If we only had freedom. And we hear that word, I honestly believe, as Americans, and it's like, oh, why is it such a big deal? Everybody, we have freedom. Everybody has freedom. And you don't, you know? And when you're living in a terror environment where there's no airports and no ports and no roads and no borders and nobody will let you come in and out, you quickly learn what it's like to have that most precious thing denied. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that.
Sounds like you have a basis for another book.
I'm trying not to revisit that anytime soon.
PTSD.
But we are very concerned about our kids. And it was a very bittersweet thing to be here. And my phone has three services that I subscribe to in Port-au-Prince through various security agencies that send me updates every 5-10 minutes of, and I mean, I could show it to you. Every day is this endless list of bodies seen in the street here, armed individuals moving in a neighborhood here, building on fire here, tires on fire in the middle of the street here, massive blockade blocking a neighborhood. You can't get in. Don't drive on this street here. And it's every 5 minutes. Wow. And between the three different services, you know, I get some of the same ones, some of different ones, photographs of people. Don't look out for this car. It's got people with machine guns in it. It's endless. And to think that our kids have to live in this, and that we actually were able to do school yesterday and today, which is remarkable to me. It's been closed for all this time, but the teachers need the money. And so they said, can we try to get to school? And they somehow get to us through these streets that are for half a day that are so dangerous. You know, if you go out, if you're out after 6 o'clock, the police can shoot you. And without any explanation, without it's done. And there are people every morning, there's somebody in the street, some dead body in the street, and nobody knows, is it a gang member? Was it someone who was shot by a gang member? Or was someone who was shot by the police who, you know, they were accidentally out or whatever and they didn't ask any questions?
Yeah. Wow.
And I know you're a mayor of a city. You don't have this connections. But I have implored our government to do something more than just try to send some money or to try to encourage Kenya, you know, half a world away, to take action. And can't get anywhere. I can't get anywhere. I mean, it's an election year. And Nobody wants to send boots on the ground anywhere, even though, honestly, in my opinion, an American American small force of an American, quote-unquote, peacekeeping, in 2 weeks, this thing will be over with. This is not an army. They are not organized. This is a bunch of teenagers with assault rifles. But there aren't the rest of society doesn't have guns. Haiti outlaws guns, and regular citizens cannot have guns. So when someone has an assault rifle, even if they can't shoot it straight, which is the case of most of these guys, you're going to run, you know, and they have everybody on the run. But it's about maybe, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 gang members controlling a city of 5 million people. How long would it take? Our police, the Detroit police force, could take care of this.
Anyway. Sounds like I should be interviewing you for this hour.
No, I don't know. I'm sorry, Mike. That wasn't my goal. All right. So we're happy to have you here. Any questions for Mayor Duggan at 877-44-MITCH? Anything you like, now's the time you can ask. And if you've got a problem on your block, problem with a sewer or a sign or traffic or whatever, no question too small. Nope. No request too small.
Small could be. Pumping station going
let
in.
Let me ask you the question I know Kenny wants me to ask you about, the draft.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. Tell us what you know about, because it's been very interesting. They have held off on a lot of the details until right about now as it started to get very close. It wasn't something like a year ago we knew it was going to happen. I was surprised at how, you know, considering how well organized the NFL is, why we didn't know everything well in advance. Tell us why.
Oh, we knew what we needed to do. You needed to have the police organized and the street closures and the like, but they, you get in to the draft with this NFL One Pass, which is an app on your phone, but they only release it a month before the draft starts. There's no reason to have it. And then, so it's coming out in the next week or so. And once you have that NFL One Pass, assuming the area hasn't already filled up, you can come and go through Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But no, they're very sophisticated in the way they're doing this, but they're going to roll it out in time for people to make a decision. But I think you saw today, 6,000 hotel rooms are already booked.
They're gone.
So people knew when it was and were making their plans. Yeah. And so you'll see, for example, in the next week or so, I'm going to start to do announcements on the first street closures. They're going to take Campus Martius, where they're going to build that huge stage. Right. And we're going to have to shut down the streets around it about 3 weeks early. And so we'll lay out that piece. And a week later, we're going to have to shut down Jefferson when they build out what's happening.
So
at
that
Hart
chunk
Plaza.
Of Woodward is going to be closed down 3 weeks before?
Not Woodward. So Woodward, I shouldn't be doing this from memory. Right. Woodward will probably be 1 week. But I would say the areas off of Randolph, around there, that area east of Campus Martius is where they're going to build the stage. That'll get shut down for about 3 weeks. That stage construction is a monstrous
A little bit like the Jazz Festival,
on steroids, yeah. Right? Maybe more comparable to the kind of construction we see for the Grand Prix.
Okay. Randolph is the street that goes into the tunnel.
In front of the county building.
Yeah.
And so basically from Randolph to Grand Circus Park, to Campus Martius, right, that stretch will be closed off for about 3 weeks to build the stage. Okay. Then about 2 weeks out, we'll close Jefferson because Hart Plaza is going to be where the fan fest is. The kids throw the footballs.
Those the NFL experience.
NFL experience. Yeah. There you go. And then probably a week before, we'll close down Woodward, connect
Hart Plaza
to Campus Martius. Yeah. But we're keeping every street open as far as we can. All the businesses know.
Good.
And this is the first and last time you'll ever hear me say this, but we are encouraging the businesses to have their folks work from home a couple of weeks.
Unless you run a water ice shop.
Right. They tell me they work with you to keep water ice open till the last possible moment.
Oh, yeah. We will. Mm-hmm. Well, people can still walk there. They just can't drive, right?
Right.
But people can still walk to the stores on Woodward if they wanted to get to Texas to Brazil or any of those places, they could get to it.
And there's going to be exits because if you looked at the way they did it in Las Vegas and Kansas City, because they were at huge parks way away from the downtown, you basically had one entry point, maybe one or two exit points. Here, because we're going to be integrated into downtown, and most people, at least on Thursday, will not make it inside the NFL fence. That'll hold about 75,000 people.
Right.
But I would say two-thirds of the people will be out on the streets of Detroit. There'll be TVs everywhere.
Yeah.
There'll probably be a TV at Water Ice.
Oh, yeah, we already have one.
There you go.
We need to ask you for one.
But folks will have exits right down on Jefferson. So potentially, you know, you're there and you're two-thirds of the way through the first round. Your team picked sixth and you want to go. You'll be able to go and hit a bar, hit a restaurant.
Except park.
Throughout downtown.
Now, what is the police and security requirements or efforts that are going to be coming? Because obviously nobody wants, everyone's just shivering at what happened with the Kansas City parade after the Super Bowl. Not that one city's football-related event is connected to another, but we all worry about that.
The randomness could happen anywhere. They had 500,000 people on a beautiful sunny day, and two people got in a beef and shot each other and did enormous damage to Kansas City's reputation internationally. Of course, we worry about that at the Taylor Swift concert. We worry about it at the Grand Prix. We worry about it at the fireworks. You go right down the list. We didn't have those incidents last year. But I can't completely eliminate the possibility that you have one idiot get into a beef. But what we did last summer that was so effective is we put throughout downtown 20 Evolve weapons detectors that you walk through. This time we're going to have 60. Nobody's ever done this. We're going to ring all the downtown. And the way it works is that on the public streets, at least, you'll walk through the weapons detector. If you've got a concealed carry permit, it will show that you have a gun. You show your CPL license, and you can go through if you're carrying illegally.
License to carry.
So anyone getting into that big extended Hart Plaza to Campus Martius area and left and right, will before they can get in, have to walk through a gun detector.
So that before you get into downtown, you'll go through a gun detector.
Okay.
The NFL actually will control that interior space, and they don't allow weapons at all.
Mm-hmm.
But my issue is not so much the what's inside the fence. You're going to have people in Eastern Market. You're going to have
outside,
people,
yeah,
right. Yeah, at in
60.
Grand Circuit Park, right? And so my issue is the whole perimeter downtown. And Chief White's got a plan for 60 of those weapons detectors ringing downtown, which is what we did for the fireworks, what we did for the Grand Prix, and there'll of course be police officers everywhere. And Detroiters have been very strong at not allowing things to happen.
Right. You just
themselves.
Don't want one lunatic, as you say. 877-44-MISH. We're
going to
talk more about this.
Five.
Yeah. More about this with Mayor Duggan. But we know you have a lot of questions for him. We got a full bank of calls. So let's go to them. Robert, hi. You're on the Mitch Albom program with Mayor Duggan.
Hi, Mitch. Mayor Duggan.
Good evening.
I currently own it's like about a 2,000 square foot house here in Hamtramck, which is about 1,500 square feet more than I need now at this point in my life. Now, the city of Hamtramck has vacant lots for sale for about $11,000, I think was the latest thing that they were wanting for them. So I designed one of those so-called small houses.
Tiny house.
And my question to you is, can I get a lot in Detroit for less than $11,000 for a 30-by-90-foot city lot? Buildable lot. You know?
So there are 30,000 lots in the hands of private owners right now. So I think if you went on any real estate website, my guess is that you can probably do better than that.
Zillow. Engine.
There you go. Yeah. So, I don't think we've ever had a question like, you got anything cheaper for me, Mayor? That may be a first. You got anything cheaper than 11 grand? You know, can I get something like 10.5?
Yeah.
877-44 Mitch. Okay. Hey, look, phone lines are open. You can tell you, take what you're getting. Steve, you're on the Mitch Albom program. How cheap would you like to go, Steve?
I got 10.5, 10.5, 10.5, 6.
Yeah. We're going to win a race to the bottom. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, Mitch. Hey, Mr. Hi. Mayor. Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. So I have a question like, hey, what the heck? Let's call the mayor and ask. So all I grew up in the city, 6 Mile and Gratiot area, moved out in middle school out to the suburbs, currently living about hour northwest of the city, driving the city now. You can hear the siren.
Yeah, are you wanted or
Indiana wants him?
We are so enamored with what's going on downtown in the city. We took my wife down there for anniversary. We stay downtown in the hotels for a weekend. Mitch, we saw you running around the other day at the end of February. I wanted to give you a shout out, but didn't want to freak you out. So
thank you.
It's fantastic. There's the riverfront, the restaurants, the pedestrian traffic. So exciting compared to, you know, to growing up, and I'm 52. But it's so exciting. In fact, we're looking at maybe moving down there. We're looking at condos. We're looking at Midtown. We're looking at Indian Village. Looked at Palmer Park a little bit. But I am just blown away by the property taxes, just to be honest. It's like lakefront property out here in the suburbs. It's the same type of property taxes. And just wondering, with the influx of people coming into the city, assuming that's happening, and the maybe spreading those costs around a greater amount of people and properties, is there any plan to get the property taxes to what I would consider a little more reasonable, no offense?
So I think you need to get a real estate agent who understands the city. But in the areas that you're looking, there's an excellent chance that there's an NEZ, a neighborhood enterprise zone break, that probably knocks 25-30% off. And so
you of the should, property taxes?
Yeah. So 15% of the city council is designated in the NEZs, and there's a lower tax rate. It is the Indian Villages. It is the
Midtown.
The Palmer Woods. It's a lot of those areas. So, but you need a real estate agent who knows Detroit, and I think you'll find it's much less.
Okay. I want to piggyback on that for a second. Have you heard people say that the prices that people are asking for, there aren't that many condos or things, but even apartment and rent prices just seem to be astronomical for the city of Detroit. I mean, they seem to be very much like Boston prices and things like that. Now, I'm not selling our city cheap. It's not like, hey, what happened to the $500 a month apartment, you know? Mm-hmm. But $4,000 a month for a 1.5 bedroom or something See, I keep asking, like, who's got $50,000 at an entry level to pay for an apartment in Detroit?
Well, retirees that want a water view? I don't know.
Right, the $4,000 a month is the penthouse at the new Water Square. They've leased them all, Mitch, so you're too late.
I have a home.
I sold my house in Palmer Woods in 2014 when I got elected. I saw it just went on the market, and they're asking more than double what I sold it for.
Wow. Yeah.
That's true across the city. Property values in the last 5 or 6 years across the city have more than doubled. The city's coming back, and it's why I'm working so hard to continue to build the affordable housing so there's room in this city for everyone. But there is no question at this point. We've got a good supply of affordable housing, but we now have much more supply of high-end housing. And I think this work-from-home trend, for the folks who can do it, they don't want to live in a suburban house and work from home. They want to be in the middle of the action. I think you're seeing people
Do you think that's why the price is
It's a factor.
Because, I mean, your joke notwithstanding, $4,000 is not a penthouse. There's a lot of regular apartments, because I know people who are looking for them. Regular apartments are $4,000. They're not penthouse apartments. You know, it might be a two-bedroom. You know, $4,000 is a lot of money. And there are some that go higher than that. And I just, you know, I remember looking at them a couple of years ago at, you know, and 2000 was a high figure. And I'm just wondering, how do we go from, especially with COVID and with people not, you know, all that, but maybe what you're saying is part of the reason, like, people are making it their home and their office. So they're combining rent for a space and a mortgage at the same time.
But think about this. You know, you've got lots of choices in lots of suburbs, and we all know the pros and cons of each community that you choose to live in. There is no place that has the kind of spectacular riverfront that we have here. There's no place that's got the four professional sports teams in walking distance of each other, the theaters, the restaurants, the bars. Detroit is a far more attractive place to live than it was 10 years ago, and it's drawing a lot of people to come here who wouldn't have thought of living here 10 years ago.
People with money, obviously.
And somebody with a 500-foot house.
Yeah, and one guy who wants to get something for less than $11,000.
Going, gone.
All right, more questions for Mayor Duggan at the phone number 877-44-MITCH. Always a toll-free call. Continue our chat with him right after this. And Mayor Duggan is here with us for his monthly visit in the studio, and we're going to your phone calls at 877-44-MITCH. Anything you would like to ask the esteemed mayor of Detroit, you can do right now. Larry, you're on the Mitch Albom program. Go ahead.
How you doing, Mayor Duggan, Mitch? I got, without putting a damper on all the good things that have been said about Detroit, I'm a lifelong Detroit resident, and I'm been having a lot of issues on this street called Wheel Lock over by the railroad tracks. You guys had a big drug raid, Detroit Police Department, ATF and all. I've numerously called your drug line. There's an old lady that took all the information. Nothing transpired from it. I've stopped police officers on the road. This traffic is all day long. It's a drug house that's on Waterman, and they come to on Wheel Lock and travel through the railroad track, and they're right back in business already. I'm trying to figure out how this happens and how do I get some help. I've been to the 4th precinct to try and set up a time with the sergeant there. I don't know what else to do.
Okay. I'll talk to the chief tomorrow.
Okay. I've had conversation with a couple officers that I know personally, and I can come down. I got videos. I got all kinds of stuff. That's my question, like I said, is how do they just get right back into business?
So it sounds like if they raided the place and they paid attention to you, we have a process where if it's raided and drugs are found a second time, we sue to seize the house. And so it sounds like we may need to go back again and this time take the house away. But that's how we stop them from reopening. Normally, people don't deal out of a house they own. Normally, they deal out of a house they rent. And we can usually get the landlord to act pretty quickly, and we send the notice saying if it happens again, we're taking the house. But I will talk to the chief, and let's see if we can follow up.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll know what situation we're talking about.
Yeah, well, it's good that you called then. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I watched the mayor take notes while you were talking, so he'll follow up on that tomorrow. Thank you for your phone call. Thanks for reporting that in. 877-44-MITCH. Jacqueline, hi. You're on the Mitch Albom program. Go ahead.
Hello. My question is, well, my suggestion is for my water bill, I'm charged a drainage fee every month. However, I'm just wondering for the drainage off of impervious areas, and mine is only 0.5. But at any rate, I want to know, when it doesn't rain or snow, why can't I get a rebate at the end of the year?
So
for no drainage.
So think about the storm drains that we build. You don't need them every day. When the rain comes down hard, if those storm drains aren't built to capacity, it floods onto the lawn, into your basement, and the like. And so the reason that everybody pays a drainage charge is to pay a small portion of those storm drains to be there for when it rains. It's the same reason that you pay car insurance every month, but you
whether
can't
you get
call,
an accident
right,
or
you
not.
Don't call the insurance company 2 months later and say, I've been in an accident, send my premiums back. That's just the reality. But we have in this city, with what's happening with climate change, we've had more and more huge rain events that have caused basement backups. And what we're actually doing now is building our capacity to stop those basement backups. And the drainage charge is a very small part of your bill, but that's what it's used for.
Thank you for the phone call, 877-44-MITCH. Pat, hi, you're on the Mitch Albom program with Mayor Duggan. Go ahead.
Hi, Mayor. This is Pat. I've been a resident for decades. I strongly oppose illegal immigration. I have relatives and friends in Chicago. They are so overwhelmed by all the illegal immigrants that the Biden administration is busing to their communities. It's draining resources from them. It's not even helping the homeless. My question to you is Detroit a sanctuary city like Chicago and New York? If so, are you allowing immigrants, illegal immigrants in the city now? And if you're not, are you going to allow them in the future? Because that would not be right, because that would drain resources for us who are already citizens and American citizens.
Yeah. Detroit is not a sanctuary city, and we don't have those issues.
That's a pretty succinct answer.
Cut and dry.
Has anybody tried to bus people here, either the Biden administration or a southern state?
Okay. The Biden administration isn't busing anybody anywhere.
Well, they've been flying people.
It's Governor Abbott from Texas who's doing it.
Yeah.
But there are cities in this country that have adopted a so-called sanctuary policy, which says even if I arrest somebody who's committed a crime and they're an illegal immigrant, I won't tell Customs and Immigration. If Customs and Immigration identify somebody who's in my jail, I won't hold them. They refuse to cooperate. And Governor Abbott has responded to those cities by saying, okay, if you don't want to support the laws, I'm sending them to San Francisco, to Denver, to Chicago, to New York. We could debate whether that's right or wrong, but the city of Detroit is not a sanctuary city. Nobody's bus folks here. There are times when somebody gets here, we service as best we can. But like everybody else, I'm against illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I was pleased to welcome 50 Afghan refugee families who escaped there, came here legally, and have moved into our city, have gotten jobs in our city.
How would you feel about 60 Haitian orphans?
Again, they come in. So I tell you what I do, though, is my wife and I, we're in Ramadan now. We have an iftar dinner at the Manoogie Inn every year, and we invite some of the refugees who came from Syria, who came from Afghanistan, who are Muslim, and they actually come to the Manoogie Inn because I want to say, this is your city, too, and we want to celebrate with you. But Detroit's a welcoming city for those who are here legally. But like everybody else, I don't support illegal immigration.
Has anybody ever proposed making Detroit a sanctuary city? I don't know. How does one become a sanctuary city? Does the city council adopt it?
No, the mayor and the police chief say we're not going to cooperate with Customs and Immigration, but we've never done that. And so if you get arrested tomorrow breaking into a house and you're an illegal immigrant, we will immediately notify ICE to have you be deported. That was the policy under Chief Craig. It's policy under Chief White, and it's been the policy the whole time I'm here, which is why you have not seen Detroit dragged into this national controversy.
877-44-MITCH. John, hi, you're on the Mitch Albom program. Go ahead.
I'm doing well. Hi, Mayor, and I appreciate you being available today. That's great. Before I go any further, I just want to say I'm proud to have you as my mayor. I am a staunch Republican, but I'm glad you're in place.
Okay, well, thanks.
I got a two-part question. One of them is, I live in the Warrendale district, and we have three Section 8 houses, which have been problems for years off and on. The first thing they put in there when it seems like these guys move in is a basketball court, a basketball hoop out in the street. And through the day, it's mostly the young guys, young kids playing, and they're, the car comes down the street, they get out of the way. At night, it's adults and young adults. They leave their liquor bottles everywhere, and they're not going to get out of your way until they want to get out of your way. Can we get these basketball? I've written letters over the years asking it because they get aggressive at times. Is there a way to outlaw these basketball hoops on the city street?
You in the 6th precinct?
Yes, I am, and I've written letters to the – I've called the detectives. I've written letters. So I've done everything.
We've got I'm trying to look up your neighborhood police officers right now, but there are neighborhood
police – I've called
them. Okay, so this is the neighborhood police officer's job. This is exactly the kind of situation that is their job. And so I'd encourage you, if that isn't working, and it should work, and I'm not very happy to hear it's not, because normally I get very good feedback on the thoroughness of our neighborhood police officers, is to call your district manager, which you can find on the website. Alexia is there, the District 7 district manager. Call her up, tell her that the neighborhood police officer is not responding, and she will get on the precinct commander.
Okay, good, good. My second part question is this. My neighborhood is transforming. We've got a lot of old families in there. They're just great, fantastic. It's a mixed neighborhood. And now we're getting a lot of Arab neighbors in here, which are great families. I'm glad they're coming in. But like I mentioned, we have these Section 8 houses, and they are the source of police calls, late night parties. Is there some way to raise the standard that these Section 8 houses become good neighbors? I mean, we even see shootouts at some of these houses.
So, the one thing I know for sure is the shootings in Warrendale have dropped dramatically in the last 6 or 8 months. In fact, it's been the number one area of progress in the city. But there's two things. One is there's a fairly rigorous inspection process on the condition of the house. The condition of the tenants is a more challenging problem. And again, I'm going to come back to there have to be 6 or 8 neighborhood police officers dedicated to the 6th precinct. This is exactly what they are supposed to do. The problems that you don't call 911 for because the noise is too loud, they're being disruptive, et cetera. These kind of constant problems is exactly what the neighborhood police officers are going to do. I'm going to see Chief White at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to tell him that we've got complaints about the service on the neighborhood police officers in the 6th precinct. But you ought to call your district manager and follow up if the neighborhood police officers are not responding. I got to tell you, I don't hear this very often. Normally, I hear really good feedback. I'm going to have to check out what's going on in the 6th precinct.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate all that. Hope that answers your concern. We'll take one or two more as we're just about out of time. 877-44 Mitch.
Are any of those players eligible for the Pistons draft, Mr. Mayor?
Maybe as free agents.
Ryan.
There's more people on that street than at the game.
Ryan, sorry.
They've done okay in attendance this year, actually.
Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead. Uh-huh, you're on.
Hey, Mayor. I-94 westbound at the Lodge going northbound or going southbound, those two ramps have been under construction for about a year now, and I was wondering – they're not even working on them anymore. What is going on?
I think when Mitch has Gretchen Whitmer Day, we should have a conversation. But the state of Michigan is dealing with the freeway ramps. Yes. They've got a massive 94 project that they've been building from east to west, and you're kind of in the area of focus at the moment. Mm. But what exactly MDOT's construction schedule is and when they will move west from you. I'm not sure.
Is that a source of malcontent between, you know, you're trying to run a city. Obviously, we're in the state of Michigan, but it has a deleterious effect on the city, not on the state, on the city, and you can't do anything about it?
Well, again, people in this state complain the roads were terrible. Yeah. The governor has put a road construction program out like we haven't seen. There's orange cones everywhere, and now they complain that you can't move because of the construction project.
So, well, that's nothing new.
Right, but so as far as I'm concerned, what the governor is doing is right. I don't happen to know about this particular interchange, but I think she's made a real effort. But I'm as mad as anybody when I'm stuck in a lane traffic where the work's being done and I didn't know it was coming, which is why I use Waze almost all the time.
Yeah. If you're use Waze. That's the message.
Are they doing a cleanup when this draft comes next week, like they did when the Super Bowl was here?
We do the cleanup every week.
I'm talking about they're responsible for the freeways.
No,
right?
I took the grass, the freeway, the grass and the freeways, I took it over a year ago. So if it doesn't look clean, it's my fault.
We're going to see you out there mowing that grass.
That's where I started my life at my summer job. I probably still have the skills.
Everyone comes full circle.
There you go.
Again. Finally, Tom, you'll close it out for us. Go ahead. You're on the Mitch Albom program with Mayor Duggan.
Hello, Mayor.
Good evening.
Yes, my daughter has been a police officer down there for 29 years. My son-in-law has been a police officer for 29 years. They can't afford to retire because they have no insurance. I congratulate you for giving them a good raise, which helped them some. But when they retire, they have no medical insurance, no life insurance, or nothing. Is there anything in the workings about getting them insurance when they retire?
Yeah, so this was something that was done by Kevin Orr during the bankruptcy, and there is a VEBA that pays a monthly amount from the time they retire till the time they turn 65. But you're right, it doesn't begin to cover everything. But I don't know that that's something that we're going to be able to address. So we've done a number of things, which I'm sure you're aware of. We extended the drop so people could work longer, put more money toward their pension, et cetera. So we've done a number of things with the unions to try to offset that. But that post-retiree health care is going to be a problem.
It sounds like a legitimate issue and something that definitely needs to be worked on. Given how police officers spend their life, they ought to be able to spend their retirement without having to worry about where am I going to get my money for insurance. Well, we covered a lot of ground here, Mayor. Sure I didn't even get to a chance to ask you about the budget. But
it's balanced.
Well, that wasn't going to be my question.
Good answer. Good answer.
That's a good answer. You might as well sum it up. It's balanced. Yeah. Anything else you want to share with us before you go? Anything we haven't had a chance to ask you about?
No, it's always great to see you.
Well, it's great to be seen. Yes. I can say that with Hablam this time. Mm-hmm. Okay. We covered everything there?
We got it.
All right. All right. We'll take a break and we'll come back and wrap it up. Thank you, Mayor Duggan. How about it for Mayor Mike Duggan every month? Here on Digging with Duggan. There's your draft sound. Yeah. See you at the draft. Next time we speak, it'll probably be post-draft, right? And unless it's right before it, it might be just before it.
Well, we got to get them because we're going to be on location. So you got to come over to where we are that day. I know you're going to be probably giving all the top draft choice their picks, but come on over.
He's going to be announcing the first pick.
First priority is Mitch's show.
There you go. Yeah. All right. As it should be. Back with more right after this.